Hello and welcome to Big Trouble in Little Podcast, your weekly home for all things entertainment. This week, it's pre-Oscar week as we're going to, as a group, as a collective, take a guess on who's going to win. And and if I did my individually, I feel like I'll be, how many awards are there? Like 20? I'll be 20 for 20.
24.
I'll be 24.
We're
going
to put all of our brain cells together, get to like two, and we're going to figure this out.
Yep.
That's right.
That is damn right. But before we
share the brain cell because there's three of us.
There's just the one and we pass it around.
Yeah. We each get a quarter of it. And that makes sense.
That adds up.
That adds up.
And if you asked any of our partners, they'd probably agree to that sentiment.
Yep. But also what adds up is that I'm your host, Joseph Lussell. I'm alongside here with Ricky Marcelli.
Boys, I don't know about you, but I'm wearing my fucking Sunday best. I am in my Versace. I am ready to go. I hope you guys are wearing your Oscar suits so that we are fully engrossed in this Oscar debate.
The next person on the to be introduced is not in his Sunday best. He's in his Thursday best, and it is just a sleeveless Canadian tuxedo, and that would be one Keith Sweatland.
Imagine that. What if, like, imagine a Canadian tuxedo man doing the slap.
Doing the what?
The slap, the Oscar slap.
Oh. Just some weirded mullet guy.
Oh, hell yeah, brother.
Hi, man.
Letterkenny talk.
Hey,
just
man.
Just fucking slapping the shit out of someone.
Hey, man, best supporting actor goes to, hot damn.
Sound of Freedom got robbed.
Yeah.
Pull your finger out of your ass.
I do want to start off since it just broke about an hour ago. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, passed away a couple days ago.
That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. A magna pioneer. It just came out. Yeah, I guess he passed away on the 1st.
I have to pull out my inner weeb for it's manga.
Oh, I manga. Said, no, it's manga, but I said
liquid,
like magma.
Liquid hot
magma. Magma.
Sorry, my inner weeb just couldn't let that go.
Oh, thank you. That's fine.
For those of you not watching, he actually pushed up his glasses and said, actually.
Actually. But he passed away on the 1st of March at the age of 68. And he created Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball Z.
But it's all going to be okay, because Joe and I have already started our quest to collect the Dragon Balls.
Yep.
To bring him back.
Yes, that's true.
Keith will play the role of Bulma on this and be scantily clad most of the time, as she was in the original Dragon Ball.
I don't know what we're talking about, but I'm interested.
And then who gets to be Goku and just walk in on her in the shower and like, wow, you don't have a penis.
That did actually happen.
It did happen. So
I feel like I have more Krillin energy. Joe, you're going to be Master Yoshi. Roshi.
I'm a sick perv. Got it.
Yeah, that's it fits. We'll have to track down our Goku. Maybe we pull the fucking legend back from Japan and he can be Goku.
No, I don't want to give him that.
The producer will be Goku.
Okay, I allow that.
I
know who the legend can be from Japan. He's Yamcha, and he knows what I'm talking about.
Dude, that is the meanest thing I think you've ever said to him.
He is.
Just get to bang fucking Bulma for a while, though. So, got that going for you, Keith.
Get ready for that, Keith.
I have no idea what's going on.
We're making Dragon Ball references. Yeah. It's fine.
So, another shitty thing that happened this week. Rooster Teeth were shut down by Warner Brothers Discovery, ending a 2-decade run.
Yeah, apparently they've been running in the red for like 10 years. So that's never going to be great for your financial success. And as WB has shown, they will drop the fucking clothes hammer on anything and anyone nowadays. So
I'm surprised by that only because Rooster Teeth is known for a lot of like Reb series, but mostly Red versus Blue, the Halo Reb series. Rooster Teeth had more than 45 million subscribers to its YouTube network, 1.2 million unique monthly visitors on its app, and more than 4 million community members, according to its website.
But, yeah, and they made the fairly well-received anime Ruby. That's been pretty big. So lots of questions of what happens with all their assets now, but I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to pretend to be a prepared podcaster. Is Rooster Teeth a production company?
They were. Website. They started a webtoon called Red versus Blue off of Halo.
Oh, that's the Red versus Blue people.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they were big on the online space for being like the biggest like Let's Players for the longest time. They really missed the streaming bit, which I think is what hurt them the most. And then they were like had one of the first big podcasts that were like a major podcast for the longest time. They got into production. They had their own like anime. They did something called Genlock that was with Michael B. Jordan as a voice actor. That was like an HBO thing that flopped pretty heavily. They had a lot of bad accusations the last 5 years or so for running like sweat mills almost for their animators, though, which didn't help them. So it's been rocky for them for like the past decade or so. They had two like big people within the company have like bad sexual stuff come out. It wasn't great.
Their podcast network will continue to operate, but all the other digital media website will be shut down.
It's like a question of what that means, because like people have already like who are on some of those podcasts have already been like let go. So it's like people who aren't involved with the company on the podcast network will continue. It's weird.
I did not see Rooster Teeth being part of the Batgirl and Coyote versus Acme. We're going to burn it to the ground, lock it up, shut it down. You're not watching these ever again type situation.
I know it's weird to think of something that's been like a staple of the internet for 20 years could just suddenly disappear from the internet. There was a big call by people online being like, archive everything.
And what you were saying earlier, Rick, about this, but I'm surprised that they didn't get into streaming or anything, because they just stuck to their guns and did their normal stuff. But it's like, you know, Twitch, YouTube streaming, that's the thing. That's the go-to now. And
well, their company mandate for like the longest time was like, you use things like YouTube, but you keep your own space. Like you want to have your own space, your own website, and host everything yourself so that like you're not dependent on these third parties.
Yeah.
But the problem is this, I mean, that shifted like 5-7 years ago, where it's so expensive to host things.
Yeah. That they I'm seeing on the article how in October they removed Red versus Blue and Camp from YouTube and put it on their website for them to get revenue that way. And
yeah, to try and force people back to having to subscribe.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a shitty thing for that to happen.
I grew up on that shit. I've been watching, I mean, till about the past 2 or 3 years where I pulled away from it. I watched fucking Rooster Teeth and Achievement Hunter all the time. It was pretty, like, big part of my, like, weekly things to watch.
Yeah. Red versus Blue was awesome. That was, you know.
Was that a puma?
Was that a puma?
How do you think we got here?
That is one of the main reasons why I am still only a Halo player, because I've tried the Call of Duties, the Modern War, all of those other ones, and I shoot my own teammates, and I do, you know, I got it easy. You're yellow, you're green, you're blue, you're red. Oh, easy, easy money here. quick thing, this is for me and Ricky here. Marvel and Disney, announced the physical copies of Andor, Obi-Wan, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Moon Knight steelbooks.
I'm so hard. That excitement.
That the Moon Knight one looks amazing.
Dude, you sent me that. I was like, oh my God, it's a fucking work of art.
Keith, if you haven't seen it, you should look them up. They're pretty sick.
Moon Knight kind of interested me.
I love
it. As y'all know, I'm a big I never watched it, but I'm a big Marvel Snap head, and Moon Knight's one of my favorite
You never
cards.
watched it?
No.
It
Moon Knight's
is
really good.
probably the second or third. No, it's the second, in my opinion, best of the Marvel TV shows.
Okay. Does it Is it a self-contained story?
Yes.
Yes,
Yeah. Ooh,
completely.
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I like
It,
it. you don't need to watch you
It's
don't need
not
to watch
expanded
it.
into the
Yeah.
rest of the Marvel universe at
I
all.
love
It
it.
is just a standalone story. They
Yeah.
succeeded.
They did
Yeah.
it.
But they succeeded and did it, but also the fact that like it's been two years now since it came out, and everyone's like, when is the next season or when is the
Yeah.
movie or whatever? Because Oscar Isaac was phenomenal in it.
Nice.
And
I mean, what has Oscar Isaac ever been not phenomenal in, though?
I'm gonna say it now just because X-Men Apocalypse, and we're just gonna leave it at that.
He was an X-Men apo okay. I blocked out so much of that movie to like not have to think about it
You
that
know, as Apocalypse, he wasn't that
there it is.
he was a he
Yeah.
was Apocalypse?
Yes,
Yeah,
he was. Yeah, he
just
was the main villain.
like divorced from the rest of the movie, and if you
Yeah.
like ignore the words he says,
Yeah, he's great.
he's all right.
There we
I
go.
mean, yeah, usually like, and I think she was a good Jean Grey, but fucking Sansa was just like. Jean Grey just fucking sucked. I mean, Jean Grey kind of sucks in all X-Men, right? Like, that's just a whack character in general.
I think that's also a function of us being the age we are, because the X-Men cartoon in the 90s overplayed Jean Grey. And
Yeah.
so I was personally just like, oh my God, Jean Grey. And then that carries over, because I'm stupid apparently, into my 30s, where I'm like, oh, Jean Grey. Why
I
are they
didn't
doing
like Jean
this?
Grey in the comic book, in the TV show either.
That's
Yeah,
what I'm
she
saying. Yeah.
sucked. Like,
Like we were literally children when we were watching
yeah,
that, and
and we
that
still didn't
carries
like
over
her.
to, yeah.
Do you think that's also why I hate Cyclops? Because I hated him in that TV show too.
Yeah, because
It's
like in,
possible.
I think Cyclops, is probably pretty cool. Like, did
Not
you?
in anything I've ever seen. He's always
No, I
whack. He's
meant
always a
like
nerd.
I'm sure there's like dope comic books that have like Cyclops doing crazy things. Like, I'm just
There's no
guessing.
Wolverine or Gambit.
Well, no, I'm more educated on Wolverine though, so I.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's so much Wolverine as much as you want to fuck Hugh Jackman, but
No, I'm. That's like I've never claimed to be a comic book reader, but those are the comic books I've read is Wolverine comics.
and the fact you want to fuck Hugh Jackman,
And that one.
Man, that one.
That
But just give me more Moon Knight, please. That's all I want. It's been 2 years since it came out, and Oscar Isaac has said that he would love to come back, and then who knows? It's Marvel, so it's that hush hush of.
Yeah, legit
There's.
also might be the last time Marvel CG was actually semi okay.
Keith, you should watch it. So I'm just gonna.
I
Yeah, it's
should.
good. I would definitely.
Isn't it short too? It's just like six episodes or something.
Yeah, something like that. It would
Yeah.
classify as a mini series.
That's cool.
Now that just reminds me, I still at some point need to fucking just pull up my goddamn britches and watch fucking Secret Invasion and fucking Lady Hulk.
I gave it the old college try on Secret Invasion. I'm
I
more.
think I think see I think She-Hulk is better than Secret Invasion.
Jesus.
Yeah. By the way, and Moon Knight's only six episodes.
Secret Invasion was so violent, like irritate, like in your face, boring.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
it's also still just so depressing how we went with such bangers for the start of Marvel. Like the first three bangers. Fucking everything following up besides fucking the Hawkeye show, bangers. And then we just fucking went downhill and it's been crap since.
Other plan collapsed.
Womp womp.
I
Man.
got a little I got an entertainment news story I didn't throw in the chat group there. We can chat about it. I don't know if you guys are up on it.
Continue to be professional. I love it.
Yeah. So yeah, are y'all it's I'm kind of the video. I tend to be the gamer in the group here. So I keep up on game news, and it's more of like a broad story, but this Sony's recent layoffs of 9% of their workforce is a pretty sad indicator of where the world's at now. They laid off 8% of PlayStation's global workforce, which is 900 people, and which is crazy. Because I think some of those, like, actually earlier in the year, the biggest, like, I guess, signifier of it was Insomniac laid off, had layoffs. And
I mean,
they
just
made Spider.
everyone within
All the
the
gaming
digital
is.
realm has been seeing mass layoffs.
But it's fucked up because Insomniac made Spider-Man 2, which was like, it shattered records. It was like selling millions. And like the budgets are so crazy on these games that it wasn't enough to like, although
Well, and
I
some
mean,
of it's, you know, they got to make sure the CEOs still get their
oh
shitty
no, that's
bonuses and answer to fucking the.
shareholders.
Yeah.
No, that's 90. Yeah, that's the majority of it. But yeah, it's just video games are in an insane place right now where they're bigger and better, and I would say probably better than ever. They're crazier than like the bigger seller, popular, but they're still laying off people.
Well, what's weird is more and more you're seeing AAA titles, for the most part, fail epically because they build these big budgets, then they rush out these games that aren't finished and are just kind of in general fucking shit. But you're seeing like these secondhand developers, because I don't know if you guys pay attention to Twitch as much as I do, but a game came out, maybe it's 2 weeks ago now, called Helldivers.
Helldivers, yep.
Dude,
I know
it
of
has been massive, and that game has done so well. Forget like for the first one that wasn't that well known, and Helldivers has just been like, and that's what you keep seeing. You keep seeing lesser game, like lesser titles that don't have these giant IPs.
And before Hellworld was before Helldivers was Pal World, like that one was
Dude,
pretty big.
fucking that game for a gigantic ripoff of both Fortnite and Pokemon just fucking went off.
Yeah, just the it's always like a weird reminder about because I've got like my favorite video games are like big AAA 3D action games. That's my shit. But I always need to remember that like Roblox and Fortnite and PUBG and like Minecraft or whatever are like 1,000 times bigger than anything else out
I don't
there.
think PUBG anymore. I think Warzone has kind of taken over that space,
Well, that
but
yeah, that style of game
yeah,
in
but I mean,
games.
you can also like talk about like how gacha games like on phones are the biggest thing, and like I don't really equate that to actual gaming. That's more just like it's kind of like scrolling reels or TikTok. It's just turning your brain off and doing stupid shit. It's just looking for that dopamine, but
Helldivers just like is Starship Troopers. That's what
Oh, it's a
everyone's
hundred. I mean, it's 100% like a ripoff, but it fucking looks fun as fuck. If it was on Xbox, I'd probably play it, but
I keep I'm gonna wait for it to get less than $50.
it is already. It's $40.
Less than $40.
It was
Because
a.
that's a.
It's. It was from the rip a $40 game.
You have to. I guess for it to be truly fun, you have to play multiplayer, and I don't want to like engage with strangers.
I don't think it. It's nothing else besides a multiplayer game. Because it's a
I mean, no,
PvE game.
you are able to do it
I mean,
single
yeah, you
player,
can do it
though.
solo. But I mean, you have friends, Keith, in the call with you right now. And we get the fucking big dick cousin Andy on there for our fourth, and we're ready to go.
Huge.
Huge. Huge. Since I know Keith is, an avid Twitter guy, Rick, do you see
X.
oh, X, Hideo Kojima's reviews of movies?
No, I've kind of, in this terrible world we live in and how fucking disastrous X has become since fucking douchebag Musk took over it, I've really pulled back on social media. So no, I have not seen
Oh,
that.
Kojima's a ridiculous cartoon character. You should think about that before you say the words
No. I'm not the
that.
only cool funny thing about his Twitters about movie reviews is if he did not like it, a la Madam Web, his review is this. I went to the movie theater and saw Madam Web. That is it. If he did not like the movie, it's just that one line. But if it's like Moon Knight, we were talking about earlier, he does this full paragraph about how he thought it was awesome, amazing, and Oscar Isaac, as he called him, pathetic
He's
and
put
unattractive
it in a
in
good
a good
way.
way. But
That
like,
almost feels more disrespectful to put nothing than imperative, like at least give it like legitimate criticism.
and he talked about Dune 2, which about how like he at one point thought, movies are just gonna be on iPads and phones, but Dune 2 is one of those movies that make you need to go to the movie theater.
As Joe is very aware before the podcast started, do not get Keith and I started on Dune 2.
You can
we'll turn this into the Dune 2 podcast.
You can talk about Dune 2 after we do the Oscars talk.
But hold on, I got to reference a good meme I saw.
Got it.
It was the picture of the neighbor from Office Space.
Yeah,
it was a Dune 2 chicks at the same time.
Dune
pretty,
2 chicks.
Pretty funny.
Oh, Joe, you know what I learned and why we can't find the fucking sandworm bucket by us? It's an AMC exclusive.
Yeah, we gotta go north.
We gotta go find our fuck bucket.
Gotta brave the northern waste to get our Shia Hulusi fleshlight.
I know we did it last week. We looked it up on eBay and some were only $40, some were $850.
First of all, only $40 is still a ridiculous statement for a fucking fuck bucket.
But I think it was $30 normally.
That's ridiculous that someone would even pay $30 for that.
The Ghostbusters like Slimer one's like $30. Yeah.
I saw that when I went to my showing of Dune 2 on Tuesday, and I thought about buying it, but then I'm like, these things are fucking stupid and ridiculous.
Oh, I went by there after the work one last week, and I picked up the tin.
You did.
And with my platinum membership, it was only like $15 because I got the drink too, the cup too, and it was like only $15 for that. While they were promoting it to be like $30 per thing, but I don't. I saw the Slimer thing, and I'm like, do I really want a Slimer popcorn bucket that has a giant Cinemark logo in front?
And like, where, like, even with your fancy new shindigs, I don't know, like, where, like,
yeah,
it's not good enough to actually display.
Yeah,
like, so it's just gonna end up in a cupboard, taking up space till you throw it away in 3 years.
Exactly.
Till the producer finally goes, get rid of it.
Yep.
And you're like, fine,
fine.
And then Keith takes it and comes in it.
Yep.
And then he's like, this is my Dune bucket. I've slimed this Dune bucket, all right.
The slime of life.
But yeah, I got the other one because I was like, this is easier to work with. So
it does at least finally feel, before we get into our Oscar talk, like the movies are kicking off finally for the year.
Yeah.
Like we had Dune, we got Ghostbusters coming up. Kung Fu Panda 4 comes out this week.
We're getting popcorn. It's popcorn season.
I mean, I would argue that Beekeeper is a pretty big popcorn flick. It just feels like we're finally like getting into like bigger films.
Yeah.
Did you while we're still talking about films, when did you see the Fallout trailer?
Dude,
I've been keeping up.
It looks good. I'm excited. But this is someone who doesn't play Fallout, so has no actual like skin in the game of caring about the game.
Yeah, I've played them all except for the old ones. I don't know. I'm after Rings of Power, I'm skeptical.
See, I know like you didn't like that, but I also feel like Lord of the Rings hasn't produced anything good since the original trilogy, so like maybe it's just a Lord of the Rings problem.
No, this is the writer problem. They just made up a bunch of shit. It had nothing to do with anything.
But like that's a problem though when you're trying to continue an IP and there's just not like that base to like work off of anymore. Yeah. Whereas Fallout, like, you can just use the world and build around it. It's kind of like how people are upset about the Borderlands movie that's coming out and how it doesn't fit things. I'm like, there's not really a storyline that matters in the Borderlands game. So like you can just use cool characters and make shit up and it should be fine.
I'm skeptical about that movie because that movie had development hell. They like filmed it in 2021.
But that trailer looked really good, actually.
I don't know. I think it's going to be surprisingly bad. That's my prediction.
See, I'm the other way. I think it's going to be surprisingly good. I think everyone's going to have really low expectations, and I think it's going to slap.
Did any of you see the new Nick Cage trailer, Arcadian?
No, there's a new Nick Cage trailer, and I didn't know about it.
It looks to be like it's going to be a horror movie because it's based off of.
Is it the Long
Shutter.
Lake one?
No, it's the premise is it's a father and his twin teenage sons fight. to survive in a remote farmhouse at the end of the world as a post-apocalyptic movie.
Dude, how can Nick Cage look so different in all his films? It's so crazy.
Hair.
The man has such fucking like length. What the fuck? Long legs? I've missed so many goddamn
long
Nick Cage
legs
trailers.
Long legs, my shit. That one looks good to me. I don't know about this other one. I'm excited about long legs.
What? Oh, yeah. I think he's the... I'm going to say he's the villain in that one.
I don't know. It looks like... It looks scary, scary.
Yeah. What is it?
I know what I'll be doing after all this.
It's hard to tell. It's always hard to tell with him because he always makes like one or like one. He always makes about one good one every couple of years.
I would argue
like
he's been on a
good.
He's been on a higher kill than that, or higher. Like, he had that struggle for a while where he was trying to like catch up on all his like back taxes, where he was just making anything and everything for a dime.
Yeah, well, he still makes the fake movies though.
Well, like here, since I'm on his IMDb right now, look, like so in 2021 he made Willy's Wonderland, which is supposed to be good. It's basically Five Nights at Freddy's,
but good.
But good. Pig,
which is supposed to be a banger.
Yep. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent,
which is a fucking banger.
So then he did Butcher's Crossing as the Buffalo one.
I still need to watch that.
You watch The Old Way.
Surprisingly, I didn't hate it.
Renfield, and he was the best part of it.
God, that movie,
sucked.
But he was good.
He was the best part.
He was a great Dracula. The rest of the movie sucked.
Sympathy for the Devil.
We still need to see that. That looks good.
Dream Scenario, which will be on Max next week.
The movie's very good.
So, like, you know, it's there's weird things of he has.
Yo, I seem to notice that you decided to ignore the movie that we both saw last year.
We're not talking about it.
Oh, okay.
We're not talking about that one. We're talking about good movies. Keith, you like the Color Out of Space movie that he was part of?
Mm-hmm.
That was Mandy.
That was like 20.
No, I know. I scrolled down. 2019.
Oh, okay. I just rewatched Mandy. That movie's crazy.
Yeah. So
crazy.
I think
crazy once.
I will say in every movie of his, there's always a slight chance that it's actually a really good movie if you give it a shot.
And you guys know what's crazy? That man has an Oscar.
You're damn right he does. I have to. So he made a movie called Lord of War. Now he's making another one of Lords of War.
Yeah, it's the sequel. I loved Lord of War, by the way. That movie fucking was good. Also, I tried to set up Joe for like a segue into the Oscars, but he just wanted to stick to Nick Cage.
I just
want to
bring that up right now.
Yeah, it's the sequel to Lord of War.
I'm slowly putting the $5 Starbucks gift card back into my pocket.
It was like, I laid it. It was such a like layup. And
it
was
a
no,
layup. It
we
was
must
a layup.
Talk more Nick Cage.
Okay,
Speaking
of layups, the year he won it, he deserved it. But let's talk about this year's Academy Award, shall we?
It's fine. That was fine.
Dude, I was so hyped for last year's because last year's was so interesting. I'm so not hyped for this year's.
Although after I came around a little bit on 23. I think it was a better movie year than I thought it was.
I mean, it was fine. It was no 22, though.
No, it was no 22.
So I will just start from the bottom of the page.
Just real quick, I think, Keith, the problem was, I think 23 would have been another banger year, but losing the last third of the year because of the writer's strike and then the actor's strike really fucked it. Because, we should have had Dune in October.
Yeah, and it really makes you sour as the industry. All the greedy fucks that don't want to pay anybody kind of makes me feel... Puts a sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, so I think it would have been a banger year, but losing the last third of the year. Because I think Joe and I hit platinum in like September or October and then didn't use it for like the next 3-4 months.
Yep. I literally just used it the first time when we went and saw, what did we just see, Keith?
You saw Madam Web.
Madam Web, that was it.
Yeah, my first movie of 2024 is Dune 2.
Yeah.
So my first movie was in March.
3 months in. Yep.
In theaters. I've watched plenty of non-theater movies, but
yeah. Mine was February. Yeah. So
also,
just
dude, that platinum status, that fucking hits.
yep.
Getting
Gotta
your
keep.
fucking like goodies and then watching the price just drastically drop, I'm like, that fucking slaps.
What's that? $11? $8? Got it. All right. So as a cohesive group here, we're going to make our picks for this upcoming Sunday's Academy Awards.
Do we have a way to document this so we can test it later?
Well, I
I
can.
mean, we're recording, so I mean, technically we're documenting.
Well, all
Yeah.
right. I will type as we talk and debate. So as I was saying before, I will start on the bottom of the Wikipedia page, shall we?
Wikipedia, okay. It
Yep.
said New York Times has a rockin' PDF ballot.
Well,
So
oh.
should we do what actual like American voting should be and do like a ranked choice and that's how we can figure it out? Or is that too complicated?
I think we just talk it out with the three of us, and if two of us agree, then we go with that one.
Okay.
All right. So
Or which is gonna be hard. It's gonna be a challenge.
it's gonna be a challenge, huge. All right, so we're gonna start off since it's on the very bottom of this page here. Best visual effects.
Oh
Okay.
God.
Let's see. Noms. What's the noms?
We have Napoleon,
Okay.
Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part One. That's what it says there.
This is a
The
hard one.
Creator, Godzilla Minus One, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I almost think Guardians gets it.
I instantly say Napoleon, not getting it. See, I think Guardians is up there, but like Godzilla calls out to me. And I don't think it had the best visual effects, but it feels like one of those movies that's going to be like a jerk off like
Yeah.
award where it's like Godzilla's not really in anything else, but everyone fucking loved this movie.
I was thinking the jerk off factor might apply to Mission Impossible too, because of the ridiculous ad campaign they had for it with Tom Cruise driving motorcycles off shit.
Yeah, but they love to nominate Tom Cruise movies, but they don't want to give it to a Tom Cruise
Well, the
movie.
visual effects, like, shit, they give this to Marvel movies.
But see, doesn't it also feel like the creator should get it?
It was probably in my heart, it looked the best out of those ones. That's not the winner.
I'm gonna say Godzilla.
Okay, I'm gonna say Guardians.
So Joe,
Oh,
you get
what
to be the
the
tiebreaker.
hell? This is gold. This is gold. Gold, Jerry.
Gold, Jerry, gold.
Or if it's a third one, we'll have to keep talking. If it's none of those two.
Yeah, bastards. You put me. I was going to look up and see
If you try to convince me of Mission Impossible, I'd go with that one.
God, no, it's not Mission Impossible.
Okay, those are my two, Guardians and Mish.
Okay, I was looking up Marvel movies because Keith brought it up.
I will say my number two is Guardians. Just gonna put it out there.
I
It's
was
because
at
there was like 4 seconds of practical effects in it, and people are gonna jerk off to that one in Guardians.
So I was looking up to see how many times a Marvel movie was nominated for an Oscar for
Visual effects.
visual effects or anything else. Iron Man 2, Avengers, Iron Man 3, and Winter Soldier, and Iron Man was nominated for best visual effects. They did not win. Doctor Strange, Guardians Volume 2, and Guardians all got visual effects as well. Nothing. Black Panther did win for costume design and original score and production design. And then they Black Panther Wakanda Forever won for best costume design. So they haven't won for any best visuals. So they won for other things that they've done. So Ricky, you're Godzilla, and Keith is Guardians, right? I've seen three of the five, and the effects on the creator look cool in the trailer. But to me, when seeing the trailer, it looked like Rogue One.
Funny enough, it
Napoleon,
was made by the person who did Rogue One.
exactly. And then Napoleon, it's just Napoleon, so it's just a simple,
Dude, watch
but.
it fucking Napoleon get the actual jerk off nom here for just because it's like the historical piece.
Which I think's on Apple TV now.
Napoleon was pretty sick. It was good as hell.
You're one of the few people I've heard say that. Most people say it's kind of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's still Ridley Scott killing it. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with messy.
And by the way, the director of Rogue One is doing Jurassic World 4.
Now that movie's, let's just not talk about it anymore.
Okay. Got it. So for me, it's like the difference of, like, I'm with you guys. It's either going to be Godzilla or Guardians. Godzilla, it was only a $15 million budget. And I could, the effects were awesome, but I also could see how it was stop motion at points. So I will go Guardians for the best visual effects.
My heart's creator, my brain is Guardians.
I think my heart is Godzilla, but my brain is Guardians.
Yeah.
All right.
So
the official stance of
Big Trouble Little Podcast is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yep. Now we're going to keep moving up the list, so it's going to get weird. We're going to do best costume design.
Hell yeah.
Man, your list is not the Oscar list, and I got to jump around.
I know, I'm jumping all around.
Go to Wikipedia and go to the very bottom of the page. That's where it's
on.
Oh,
it's on there?
Yes, that's where I'm on.
Okay.
So, best costume
design.
I think
this one's easy.
You have Poor Things, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Just black suits with ties.
Or Barbie.
It's Barbie. Easy.
Ooh. It's going to be Oppenheimer, Keith.
For costume, just white people wearing clothes?
Dude, I'm not the one who makes the fucking rules,
okay, no,
but Oppenheimer is going to clear a stupid amount of awards, and this will be the first one they get because they love to fucking jerk off old-timey pieces.
Well, I won't lie.
No, hashtag no women directors. That's why they're going to give it to Barbie.
I was thinking it could be Poor Things. Oh, I know shit. I haven't seen it, but from what I've seen, you know, the costume design's crazy.
I really just don't think Barbie's going to get anything in the awards. I think they were pissed that they had to put it. Well, actually, there might be one later I might give it to. But not for that one.
But since we're at a three-way, so I guess we should just, we're going to eliminate Napoleon, Killers of the Flower Moon. So now
was like the greatest thing about Napoleon was the costume design. But Killers of the Flower Moon was just, rags. They're just wearing rags.
So like what would be, let's just go into what our second picks would be. So what's your number two, do you think?
You can convince me of Napoleon. I mean, no, sorry, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer's going
to
kill
think
it.
If I would have to switch my vote, I think it would probably be Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it's not going to be hard to convince me that Oppenheimer is, people fucking went nuts for that movie.
And I loved Oppenheimer. I don't think it should win for best costume design.
No, it should be Barbie.
See, I don't really like, what about Barbie though? Like for costume design though, they just wore Barbie clothing. It wasn't that interesting for costumes.
It's more interesting than Oppenheimer, I thought.
It's just more colorful and then more bright and more everything instead of Oppenheimer's just
white people in khakis.
Yeah. And top hats and fedoras.
And top hats and suits.
Those aren't top hats.
No, they are.
Do you know what a top hat is?
Yeah. But
they
wore
in
Oppenheimer.
Okay. Fucking God damn it.
I know style, my dude. So
doff their top hat.
So for no sales and
excuse me, sir. Are we just calling this the no sell picks now?
Or no, for no sales, Big Trouble Little Podcast.
No sell colon.
Big Trouble Little Podcast. We're going with Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deal.
Cause I wrote it down already and I didn't want to delete it. So I moved ahead. We're gonna do next will be best film editing.
Oof.
We have Anatomy of the Fall of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer. Poor Things.
Yeah, I think it's Oppenheimer. That movie flowed very well for a 3-hour film.
I'll ask you guys that later for
The
Dune.
way the story was segmented in Poor Things was sick. That's what my heart says.
Your number two would be Poor Things.
Hey, or that's my heart is Poor Things, my brain is Oppenheimer.
I would go Oppenheimer. It flowed for, I know Ricky just said it flowed for you. I think the first 40 for me was slow, but once that, after that, for me watching it, then it flowed after that for but for Big Trouble in Little Podcast, we're going to Oppenheimer for best film editing.
I think we're going to end up saying that a lot.
Oh,
Yeah.
no, it's so boring.
Don't worry.
Could have a couple spicy picks. We got to
Where
have
do
some weird
we
ones.
do for the BTILP?
BTILP.
Yeah, is the podcast is shorter.
Oh, I like that.
There we go.
BTILP.
So,
Heath loves his acronyms.
Yeah, I'm down with BTILP, man.
Yeah, you
You down with
are.
BTILP?
Yeah, you know me.
That's
All
funny.
right, best cinematography. We have El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon. He's probably new favorite movie, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Cinematography.
I think.
I think Flower Moon. Sorry, I just totally steamrolled in there. I think
No,
Flower
go
Moon.
ahead. I'm still debating because I think
Yeah.
in my from what I've heard and seen the reviews, it's either gonna be Oppenheimer or Poor Things.
I want to pick Poor Things,
I do too.
but it's going to be Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to just fall down to the fucking. All they'll talk about is the bomb shot, and that'll win them cinematography.
I don't know if Emma Stone getting
Which.
railed for 30 minutes in a movie is cinematography.
That's mostly, yeah. There's just
Mostly.
2 hours and 30 minutes of Emma Stone getting railed.
Yeah. I think my heart goes Poor Things, but I think the brain goes Oppenheimer.
I got outvoted.
Oppenheimer. So for BTILP, for best cinematography, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer. All right, best makeup and hairstyling.
Okay, how the fuck does a movie about Barbie not get a best
I
makeup and
know. Just
hairstyling
saw that.
nomination?
I
Like, what the
just
fuck?
saw that.
Like, that might be a bigger fucking snuff than fucking it not being a best picture. It is not being a
Yeah.
best makeup and hairstyling.
Yeah,
That
no, I
should have been
agree.
an easy Barbie win.
Can we
Okay,
just say Barbie?
if you guys try to convince me that Oppenheimer wins this one, I'll be mad.
No, I don't think it's gonna be
No,
Oppenheimer.
of
They
these, it's
were
probably
too.
Poor Things.
Oh,
Because Poor
easy,
Things
yeah.
is crazy
Easy.
with their makeup and
So, yeah,
shit.
with what's his name? The Frankenstein guy.
Defoe?
Defoe, yeah, Defoe just by himself. That prosthetic makeup
Yeah.
job was
Or
wild.
do they give it to Maestro for the
For
nose?
the nose. Keith's favorite. So let me run it down. I know we're all picking Poor Things. We have Golda, Keith's favorite new movie, Maestro,
Yep,
Oppenheimer,
I've totally seen
Poor Thing, and
Well, I'm alive and present
Society
on the
of the
podcast,
Snow.
so obviously I didn't
Yeah,
watch
that doesn't mean a
that.
thing.
I responded to your text message.
But that doesn't mean a damn thing. So, while I scroll up, I will mention that again. Ryan Gosling will be performing I'm Just Ken. So that should be fun. I saw something online. I don't know if it was true or not, but I guess Will Smith tried to get his 10-year ban removed, and they said no. So.
Oh, he's too thirsty. He can't be like letting that story get public. He can't be. He needs to keep that under wraps.
Well,
Also,
on
he
the,
hasn't done any movies. Why the fuck does he
oh,
want to go to the Oscars?
he has. Bad Boys 4 and a finished
Okay.
filming. So,
I meant Oscar movies.
all right. Let's go to best sound. We have The Creator. We have Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest.
By the way, it's sick as fuck that they keep part one inside
Right? Yeah.
the title. That's because that's what it was.
Yep. Those cowards don't get to change it, fucking cowards.
So does Oppenheimer win even though its best moment was lack of sound?
It's gonna win. My heart is a zone of interest.
Well, because
My
what
brain is.
in the movies, sound is what? Like, what's best sound? Is it like a, is it a
It's just the
scene
overall, no, it's just the
or.
overall sound of the film.
Although,
Like,
like, I think it the sound and sound mixing is like that's wait,
because
do they still have sound mixing? No, they
yeah,
don't. Never
well,
mind.
because in the next the next four ones that I'm gonna bring up is best sound, original score, and then song. So
Well,
like,
score is the
yeah, that's the
overall
music throughout the
music of
whole.
the film, and then
Yeah.
best original song is just one individual
Yeah.
song.
Yeah.
Best sound is the overall, like, sound effects, like everything
Okay.
encompassed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my heart zone of interest, my brain is Oppenheimer.
It's Oppenheimer. I'm
That is
not. Yeah.
Oppenheimer, and it, for what Rick said, for no sound.
Because they
Yeah,
in
for the
the
no sound moment.
well, in zone of interest, like the sound, like tells the story. That's why it's. I think it's better. Anyways.
All right. Well, we'll go back to the music and sound in a minute, but we're gonna do best production design.
Oof.
We have Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, or Barbie.
So I'm actually going to take that Oppenheimer. I'm going to throw it away for this one because their production designs weren't that interesting. I think it comes down to Flower Moon or Barbie, and I'm going to go Barbie because their production designs were
It was
super
crazy.
cool.
Yeah.
Actually, throw out Flower Moon too. I think it goes down to Barbie or Poor Things.
You're reading the same thing I am right now. It's Poor Things or Barbie.
And I'm going to say Barbie.
Yeah.
I think Barbie gets their win here.
Yeah, Flower Moon kind of played more like a stage production. It like there's a there it was the action was in like what they were saying rather. Yeah. So like yeah, Barbie. I'm
I think
Barbie.
Barbie gets it because they brought Barbie's, you know, Barbie world to life in a way. And yeah, I think that killed it. So I go Barbie. So BTILP, best production design, Barbie. Let's go to best original score. We have American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny,
Let's go.
because it's John
That's just the
Williams.
John Williams jack
Yes.
off, right? It's
Yep.
just John
Yes, it
Williams'
is.
name is attached to it.
Yes, it is. Killer of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, or Poor Things?
I don't know enough about this one. I'm gonna just throw a dart and go Poor Things.
It's gonna be Hans Zimmer. People fucking love Hans Zimmer. It's gonna be Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer's not Hans Zimmer.
Ludwig
Oh, but.
Göransson,
And
the
there wasn't
song.
really a score in
It was a lot
Oppenheimer.
of wah.
Yeah, I don't think it's
I think that
Oppenheimer.
still
I
that's
think
my
the
vote.
score for him, the score for Oppenheimer was like when them getting like the Avengers together and all this and that.
My heart, yeah.
By the way, the guy that did Oppenheimer did Creed and
It
Black
was Scott. Wait,
Panther.
you're telling me Scott Stapp fucking did the
Yes, he
score?
did. And he
God
also
damn you, Keith.
did some of the Star Wars stuff he just recently did. But yeah, he's done a lot of
Yeah, I stand Poor Things.
yeah.
We're
I'll
doing
go my heart is Flower Moon, my brain is Oppenheimer, so it's up to Joe.
Keith, I'm real
So
sick of hearing what your fucking heart wants. I just want your goddamn pick.
it's important to the
Dial
people
of
need to know.
Destiny,
Let's
baby. Dun, dun,
go. Can we pick
dun,
can we
dun,
make
dun.
our can we make
Fuck
our
it. I'll go
BTILP
Indiana
pick?
Jones.
Yep,
Let's just
I'm
be
in.
fucking weird.
So we're
If it
gonna
wins,
lose.
dude.
All
Dude, it's
right,
John Williams. Are they really going to look at John Williams in the face and be like,
hear me
you're not
out.
still awesome?
I want perfection, but so we're gonna write down Oppenheimer, but in our
Nope,
heart,
nope. Whoa,
nope. We're
no.
committing
Keith
to
and
the
I
bit.
voted Indiana Jones and the
Commit
Dial of
to yeah, that's two of us.
Destiny. God damn it.
That's what our brain picks.
Can we get like one time, one vote in this that, you know, we can
No,
overrule? Nope.
nope.
Fine, you
We're
bastard.
getting
I
fucking weird. We're having
honestly,
fun. Indiana
Indiana
Jones.
Jones is going to win.
God, okay, fine. Moving on, moving on. Best original song.
We're gonna argue on this one.
Oh, interesting. We have The Fire Inside. It's from Flamin' Hot. We have I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony.
Was Aze?
Wazaze, thank you. My eyes started to blur there. And then what was I made for from Barbie?
It's gonna be Keith's most hated song.
It's what was I made for?
Yeah, it's what was I made for?
It will be, but I wish it was I'm Just Ken.
They never invite the fucking song that's winning to perform at the Oscars.
Billie Eilish is seen.
Are they all performing?
Yeah, they all are.
Do, yeah.
But not.
Oh wait,
the...
that's right. They do all perform. Yeah. It's what was I made for? That's the Oscar song.
Yeah.
And Billie Eilish has so many goddamn Oscars. Does her brother just write shitty, boring songs for her?
By that, do you mean just
fucking
one?
Watch your mouth about Billie Eilish.
By that, do you mean just one because of the Bond movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the fuck do you have against Billie Eilish? She makes okay music.
It's because I hear her too much.
Well,
stop
don't listen
listening
to the
to the radio like a pleb. It's fucking 2024, jackass.
I'm educated on top 40.
Oh my god.
You can still listen to the top 40 through your phone and not have to listen to it 17 times in the same day.
Hey, I don't have phone service out in the woods where I'm working.
You can download things.
You have Apple iMusic, right?
Yes.
Boom.
I know how to work Apple Music.
Do you?
Yes.
Because you're not proving it.
Yeah, what was I made for? I'm not on trial here. The Oscars.
Yeah,
are.
You're no, hang on. You will be on trial here.
You are
Your
on
Honor,
trial now.
Your Honor, I need to speak, then I'll give my time away.
You attacked Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
First off, I don't care that you're attacking her because you're a bad guy.
That's not funny.
What is funny is you're probably
I'm a bad guy, but I'm not bad guy.
Bad guy. Are you a AM radio listener too, Keith?
Fuck no, I don't listen to AM. I'm an FM guy.
Okay. Not as crazy as we thought you'd be. But you really should stop listening to the
Kept the occasional duck game on 590.
Well, that is sports. That is fine. Because you don't have cable, which you know, you watch your stuff from antenna, which is 80-year-old people do, but that's fine. That's cool.
A lot of us have cut the cord and watched local stations through an antenna, Joseph.
Oof. That antenna rips, dude. That antenna rips.
70-year-old people do that, so that's fine and all.
Subtract that one more year.
First of all, actually...
69, all right.
69-year-old people watch cable nowadays, Mr. Joseph Lessel. It's actually us young millennials that are back. Well, yeah, because they've made cable so complicated.
Yep.
But it's actually us young millennials who aren't so young anymore that are on the fucking antenna and internet game nowadays.
Mm. Well, just stop listening to the radio. All right, that's all I want to say. Now let's get back to the award, shall we? We're going to do... Where am I at?
Best live action.
Yeah, best live... I wrote down the other one. Best live action short film.
Oh, here we go.
Fucking red, white, and blue, brother.
Let's go, brother. We have The After. We have Invincible. It's not the one with Mark Wahlberg. Knights of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
I'm going to go with the last one because it's a Wes Anderson joint.
Oh, that was on Netflix.
Yeah, that's right.
Benedict.
I see Wes Anderson's name, and I'm gonna fucking pick it because.
But you're not going to do Red, White, and Blue, brother.
I mean, I want to go Red, White, and Blue, brother. But
well,
like,
I will go Red, White, and Blue because
we don't know what Red, White, and Blue is about. It's probably like
I got it. I hear. You know, there's a short description per one. All right.
See, open link in the tab.
The After is about a grieving rideshare driver who after losing his family members to a violent crime, and then it's halfway. Oh, there we are.
Jesus Christ. Rachel's a single mother working as a waitress, urgently searches for an abortion. But
there
because she lives in Arkansas, where abortion is effectively illegal.
Ooh, that one might win. That one's a hot topic this year.
All right, here we go. So the
that is not what I thought it would be.
So the After is a grieving rideshare driver who, after losing family members to a violent crime, picks up a pastor who helps him confront his past. Invincible is a 30-minute short about a troubled young man who has been incarcerated in a youth detention center after spending a weekend with his family on a furlough, and he's trying to not go back. Knights of Fortune, can you give me a shorter plot? Nope. So we're good. Then we know the abortion.
I'm actually going to go with Red, White, and Blue.
That's right, brother.
Hell yeah. That
The
one's
other one
the
does have fucking, God damn it, I just lost his name.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah, it has Cumberbatch in it, but I'm gonna go red, white, and blue.
Because we
That's
live in
right,
hell.
brother.
All right, we
Sarah
have
McFarlane.
BTILP, red, white, and blue, brother. Next is best animated short film. Letter to Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform. What was that?
Pachyderm.
Pachyderm. Yeah, there
So
we
it's
go.
an elephant movie? It has to be about an elephant then.
Young girl survival of child abuse.
Jesus Christ.
Yikes. And then the
Not
war,
about an elephant.
not
All
an elephant.
right.
War is over, and yeah, and then war is over.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with The War Is Over because it's inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
Sure.
War, yeah. So, we're staying away from the other one, the elephant movie.
Personally, I'm against elephants abusing children.
Yeah, right.
We're going to come out and here at No Cell, we don't believe that elephants have the right to abuse children.
Yeah,
Stop
honestly,
hurting
like,
them.
yeah. It's truly offensive that it's
Yeah.
just like that, like normalized these days. It's fucking crazy.
Hurts my heart. All right, best documentary, One Can't Grieve Forever, best documentary feature film. Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol.
These are all such good names. I'm between Bobby Wine, the People's President, and To Kill a Tiger.
I'm
I
leaning
was feeling
towards
Tiger.
I was on Tiger. I saw
Sure, baby.
Tiger. I saw Tiger, and once we all said we're all have to agree, I'm like, we're all going Tiger.
Meow.
Yeah.
Fuck God,
Am
fuck
I
you.
right? All right.
These are super educated picks that we're doing here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, 100%. We're gonna win. We're gonna go 24 for 24. All right, best documentary short film. The ABCs of Book Banning. The
Oh, that's a.
Barber.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say that one maybe this year.
Yeah, I don't think you actually have to read. I'm going the ABCs of book banning. That'll
All
be the
right.
big thing.
Well, I'll finish it off with The Barber's a Little Rock, Inside Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Wapu. Get away
Yeah,
from
I mean, sure, they all, they're, I don't know. Yeah,
Sure.
sure. Yeah, the
Book
one
banning.
we picked. Yeah.
Because we love it, brother. Because we're red, white, and
No, we're
blue.
against it. We're against it.
Oh, we're
The only thing I'm
against
really
it.
against is their elephant thing.
Yeah.
Fucking elephants think they can do
No
whatever they want.
elephant should be hurting children, so. All right, next one is best animated feature.
Think this one's easy.
The Boy and the Heron,
No,
Elemental.
I think Spider-Man gets it.
Can you let
You
him read the goddamn
want me to
names?
finish? No, okay. Nimona.
In the Mona.
Nimona. Robot Dreams and Spider-Man Across the Universe, and we're going Spider-Man.
I'm pulling a Keith where my heart says I want it to be Spider-Man, but it's gonna be fucking Nimona. Fucking Netflix always wins best animated feature
Oh God.
nowadays.
I think the sneaker might be Boy and Heron.
That too. I think Spider-Man should have been nominated for best picture this year. I thought that movie was so goddamn good, and it's not even gonna win best animated because fuck the Oscars.
I think it's gonna win it, and I think it's won it every year. It could be one of the movies that if it wins it this year, there's a possibility that it could be like one of the only movie franchises to win in its categories all 3 years.
Keith, it comes down to you then.
Yes, I said Spider-Man
Oh,
already.
so you're gonna
Yeah.
stick to it?
Yeah.
Guys, it's not gonna win. They
It's gonna
I think it's
win. It's
never win.
absolutely gonna win.
Red, white, and blue, brother.
Like the
Gonna.
Spider-Man suit.
It's gonna be Nimona. They love those fucking Netflix animated features.
That's a cartoon. It might as well be a cartoon on ABC.
That fucking, what's his name? Pinocchio film won on Netflix last
Oh,
year.
that's true. Well, that was because
Netflix
of the
always
director.
wins the best animated feature.
All right, let's go to best international feature film. This
Also,
one's
one real
easy.
quick pick. Why the fuck is Elemental, right? Like, even nominated for this bullshit?
Because Disney pays or whatever to get
It
on
wasn't
there.
even the best Disney film last year.
No. By the way, for the BTILP best animated film.
Like, how does Elemental get in there, but fucking Mario didn't. It makes no goddamn sense.
Hideo Kojima's response to Super Mario Brothers was, he went to the movie theaters and saw Mario Brothers.
Nice.
Fucking, that's fair. It wasn't that good of a movie, but
no,
it
it
looked gorgeous.
sucked. Yeah.
So we're going to start with Best International Feature Film, I, Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest.
Man, I fucking wonder if it'll be the movie that was that's nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, but this one's always easy when in the situation.
Zone
Teacher's
of Interest.
Lounge, got it.
And Zone of Interest was like really good.
It's like, only one of these five films was nominated for Best Picture this year. I wonder which one will win this fucking award.
All right. So for BTILP, Best International Feature Film, it would be The Zone of Interest.
That movie's actually about Joe's house.
Okay.
That checks out. We're going to go Best Original Screenplay, Anatomy of the Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, Keith's favorite movie, May,
yep.
December, and Past Lives.
It's Past Lives, right?
No, fuck no.
Oh no, I'm confusing that with something else.
I'm gonna go Anatomy because it's the best picture.
Yeah, probably. It's the only one.
I mean, Past Lives is too, but
and
that
Holdover
one...
is.
And Holdovers.
Yeah, Past Lives should have been. That's one of the ones that could have traded out for the movies that people are angry about.
So Past
I guess
Lives,
because it's not gonna be Holdover.
Or
I like...
Anatomy. That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's Anatomy of the Fall. I think Holdovers. It was fine. I don't get why Holdovers, honestly, is nominated for Best Picture. I liked it, but I don't think it was one of the best movies this year.
So
yeah.
For the BTILP, Best Original Screenplay is Anatomy of the Fall. Now our next one is Best Adapted Screenplay. We have American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, or The Zone of Interest.
I could see American Fiction getting this.
It's Poor Things or American Fiction.
I think I'll probably go Poor Things. But I would say American Fiction could get one
or,
to get it.
You know, we could just throw Oppenheimer in there.
I don't think like no.
I think,
no, I don't think
Oppenheimer.
This is brain. This is brain, not heart.
I think Oppenheimer's the safe bet.
No, see, that's my brain though. I don't
yeah.
think Oppenheimer wins for adapted screenplay. Cause I think it took too many liberties.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go American Fiction. It's gonna come down to you, Keith.
Oh, Poor Things.
All right, so BTILP, Best Adapted Screenplay, Poor Things.
Because Poor Things has been doing pretty good at the award circuit.
It has.
Yeah.
All right, now we're getting to the good stuff. Best Supporting Actor. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things.
This is my second straight year where I don't really think anyone in Best Supporting Actor should win it, but it's probably going to be Robert Downey Jr.
Sterling K. Brown was phenomenal, but Downey Jr. is going to win.
Yeah.
Like my heart, to steal Keith's bit, wants to say Sterling K. Brown. But this feels like the jerk-off moment for RDJ.
He's got it.
Sterling,
this one's easy.
Sterling K. Brown was on a... What's the British... Big British show, talk show?
Talk show? Are you
Dan
talking about
Abbey?
The one where they're always sitting around a couch talking to that one famous guy?
Yeah. But he was on that, and he's like... Hey, I'm honored that I am nominated. You know, it's hard to get nominated for this, but Downey Jr. won. Like 100% he won. I do not care. You know, it's amazing that I'm just nominated, but he was
so much better than Downey Jr.
Well, yeah, but he just knows he's not winning it, and he just fully was like, you know, like, hey, I'm really happy for that he's going to win it. Like 100%. Like this is, you know.
He was a goddamn tearjerker, that one. His performance. But
so
yeah, easy.
Yeah. I think a shocker was Defoe not being nominated here.
Oh,
People
for
thought
Poor
he should have been.
Things?
Yeah, people thought he should have been.
No.
We go to Best Supporting Actress. We have Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers.
Divine Joy Randolph, and it's not Divine Joy Randolph. I'm flying down to LA and burning down that theater.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. Her or Blunt.
As Divine Joy Randolph fucking made The Holdover. She was so fucking good in that film.
You're good.
Also, her fucking name is Divine Joy. That's just fucking badass.
Good name.
I think she wins because what everybody's been saying online is how she was, and what Rick said, she was phenomenal for being on screen for what, 15, 20 minutes at least.
I think it was more than that, but she owned that film.
Yeah.
It's kind of because the other characters were whiny bitches and everyone hated them, but she was actually like interesting and had a good story comparative to everyone else in that film.
Yeah. I know America Ferrera was the surprise nominee
She
in
wasn't
this.
that
What? America Ferrera was great,
good.
sir. You watch your fucking mouth. You're like, I'm being the producer here. She'll punch you in the throat next time she sees you.
She will. She will. So the BTILP for Best Supporting Actress goes to Divine Joy Randolph, and for Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr.
The one I didn't get was Emily Blunt being nominated. She didn't do anything in Oppenheimer.
Neither, yeah. Trust. I would be surprised if she wins, though.
Jodie Foster has a better chance of winning than Emily Blunt.
So that was the joke I was going to go with. Let's do Best Actress. We have Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of the Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, Keith's favorite new movie, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
This is only two people, right?
It's Emma or Lily.
Yeah, like it's only them. And it's
Yeah,
been back and forth in the lead up, right? Like they've each been winning at different award shows.
Yeah. I think Lily gets it.
I think Lily gets it.
See, I feel like Emma's gonna get it just because they love Emma Stone. And then she win the SAG.
Yeah.
And that's usually like
No,
a good
Lily
barometer.
won. Yeah, Lily Gladstone won one of the recent ones.
Yeah. I think she won the SAG.
What did Emma win before that then? Was that the Golden Globe she won at?
Maybe. I don't know. They both. Emma's been killing it, but I think the Oscars give it to Lily.
I mean, I don't think there's a bad pick either way, and I hope Lily Gladstone wins. I just feel like Emma Stone's going to end up winning.
Hey, she did win for La La Land. I think, yeah, I think it'd be a little Gladstone, but I think it's between them because I know like Annette Bening's like, wait, what? Why are you in here?
Dude,
Emma
they
was
just had
like,
to they had to fill out the list. They had like it's just those two, but they had to get three other people in there to like fill in around them.
yeah.
Sandra Hüller is the sneaky one. I think that she was probably like the best out of the list, technically, probably, but like really last
Oh,
time.
she's what was that film last year, Keith? Tar. She's the Tar this year.
Yeah, she's like, oh yeah, she ought to win, but she's not gonna.
Who played Tar last year, Keith? Who was that?
Blanchett.
Oh yeah, Cate Blanchett deserved that award. She was
She's
so
the
fucking good in Tar.
by miles.
She was so fucking good in that movie.
She was better than that. Should have been the best picture.
No, it should not have been Best Picture.
What else
Everything
did
Everywhere at
win?
All was a
Oh
better
yeah.
picture.
Oh
I think it was
yeah.
a better like combined effort was that film, but I don't think either of the people who won the awards from Everything All at Once should have won. I don't think they had better performances than other people.
No.
It would they just had the better story to win.
Let's go to Best Actor. Colman Domingo for Rustin. We have Keith's favorite new movie and his favorite actor, Bradley Cooper and Maestro.
Yeah,
Paul
absolutely.
Giamatti for The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
Man, what a category this year. Like, I want it to be Paul Giamatti, but it's Cillian Murphy by a mile.
Yeah, I am become boring nominee.
Yeah, I will go Murphy.
It's
I
too
know Keith
easy.
wants it. I know he wants it. Bradley Cooper, but no.
Watch that movie's gonna when I finally get around to watching it, be like, you know, it's pretty good.
Aha!
Bradley Cooper is so thirsty for an Oscar. Jesus Christ.
So you
Yeah.
haven't watched Maestro.
No, I came clean.
He's talking to us, isn't he? I don't.
Yeah, I'm
Well,
present.
he did you literally just hear what he just said?
I have until Sunday.
I'm sorry, what?
He literally just said, when I get around to be watching that movie.
Yeah.
When he gets around
Earlier,
to be
even
watching the
earlier in the podcast.
Oscars after watching all of the movies. Yeah, I
I'm
heard him.
sorry. He's talking about watching Ricky Sinicky. Got it. My bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch Ricky Stenicki and Maestro, double feature, baby.
Yeah.
Because he, Joe, you're mishearing it. He loved Maestro so much, he's preparing to watch it again.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
The Cooper cut.
Wah. All right. So for the BTILP for Best Actress and Actor, we're picking Lily Gladstone and Cillian Murphy. All right. Well,
Actors, the male for actor and supporting is so boring this year.
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna do Best Director. We have Justine Triet for Anatomy of the Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
Laser, huh? Okay. What was that guy work for No Cell?
He's a big one.
Oh, this one's hard because it's hard. They don't. This year might be picture and director might go to the same person. It's hard to tell. Is that usually doesn't happen.
I
I
think
don't.
Nolan doesn't win Best Director. And I don't think Killers of the Flower Moon got enough reception for Scorsese to win. I think it's going to be the Poor Things guy.
Yorgos.
Yorgos. Oof.
That's the thing too. Like, I just have that funny feeling that Nolan might not win.
I'm gonna go Nolan.
Rick, you're going Yorgos?
Yeah. I was gonna go the zone event. I was gonna go Glazer, but I don't know. Poor Things needs its like fucking big win, and I think this is where it is.
For the BTILP Best Director, we're going Christopher Nolan.
Ew.
I just don't think he's gonna win.
We're so boring.
No, we're doing like the boring sports betting thing where we're just picking the two. We're picking, like, well, one of them's gonna win.
It's that thing of my brain says Norlin, but I think my heart goes with the Yorgos.
For a movie you will never watch.
Exactly. Well, it's on Hulu next
No,
week, so.
you're not gonna watch that movie.
Well, I'll have some 30 minutes I might want to watch, but I don't
Is this 1998 and you're like 12?
Yeah,
Hey, how do you think we
right.
convinced him to watch fucking Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy sitting in that chair? I mean, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, let's do Best Picture, shall we? We have American Fiction, Anatomy of the Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killer of the Flower Moon,
Ricky
Keith's
Stenicki.
Ricky Sinicky, Keith's
That
favorite
comes
new
out this
movie.
year,
Shit.
jackass. Okay,
That'll be
sorry.
next year. Keith's favorite
Yeah.
new movie, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Mean, what are we? It's Oppenheimer. What are we
Yeah,
doing here?
let's stop pretending. I know what my
All
heart
right.
says, but not
Oh,
what
wait.
my
Really
brain
wanted to
says.
pull the trigger on Past Lives, but it's Oppenheimer. Like,
All
what are we
right.
joking?
It probably will be Oppenheimer, but like, what would you want it to be?
I want it to be Barbie.
Yeah, I do too. That'd be funny.
It ought to be Killers of the Flower Moon, but it's going to be Oppenheimer.
You are the only person who thinks it should be Killers of the Flower Moon.
It was the best
You
movie
and
this year.
Martin, all right? You and your best bud Martin.
I get that you loved it, Keith, but it has not been that well received this year.
Well, it's been well received by smart people.
Okay. Well, you like it, so that's not true.
I was on your side for a while, Keith. Now you
Hey,
broke my heart.
it's number one. But yeah, whatever. Oppenheimer got it.
Yeah. Well, so BTILP, best picture, goes to Oppenheimer. And then Keith breaking our hearts. I
What a
call it.
fucking boring end. The last four, the fucking end of this award show is gonna be fucking suck.
Hey man, I'm tuning in for I'm Just Canon. I'll probably go back for the
You know what I'm
final.
not fucking tuning in for? Fucking Jimmy Kimmel hosting again. He's so boring. He's
Yeah,
so
he's pretty.
safe and boring.
Yeah, he's pretty cringe.
How did we go from Man Show Jimmy to this Jimmy? Outside of
Fox
hosting
Network.
a fucking talk show on ABC for fucking multiple decades now.
It's when he went to Fox and was on the NFL Sunday show. That was his.
I want someone to quietly raise their hand during the Oscars and remind everybody that he did
Yeah.
blackface.
I'm Karl Malone. Oh, I'm Karl Malone. If no, yeah.
Keep my motherfucking blackface out your motherfucking mouth.
Well,
That was real
obviously.
depressing. Like, I was really enjoying it till we got to the final four. Now I'm just kind of sad and reminded that it's going to be kind of a boring Oscars. Hopefully someone like wears something stupid flamboyant to the award show.
Yeah.
But Keith, just think about how we can like fucking talk more about Dune next year, because it's going to be up for like best sound and best visuals.
That's it.
Well, yeah, but like
Yep.
then fucking it might get best director. Who knows?
Oh, help. Yeah.
Well, let's turn this ship around and I'll have you guys talk about how you guys saw Dune 2.
Yeah.
Because
Dune, dune,
the
dune,
next segment will be what
dune.
have you watched? And you guys, well, let me get mine out of the way.
Dune,
So,
dune, 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 dune.
me and the producer got halfway through season two
Tell
of
us what you're watching.
tell us
Ricky gets that joke.
the bear. We got through halfway through season
Oh,
two of the
nice.
bear.
Well, your hearts haven't exploded yet, so that's good.
I'm three episodes in.
I think we're at an episode that's going to be super stressful. I know there is one, and I think we're at that moment. Other than that, I almost watched Ricky Sinicky because I got home early, and
Wait, is that already out?
I'm so
Yeah,
excited to
it
watch
came out today.
it. Oh, I thought it didn't come out till like the summer. I didn't know it was already out.
Nah, it came out today.
It's
It's gonna be
that brand
so
of like
bad.
highly sheen, shitty like streaming comedy with like they say enough fucks for it to be rated R.
But it
So
is John
like,
Cena, and he's usually kind of funny.
yeah.
But they all
Oh
look like such terrible people, and I don't think I'm gonna get over
yeah.
that.
I might give Stanicky a shot. I will say, Keith, you've been missing out on Twitter on or X, John Cena's OnlyFans for Ricky Stanicky that he made.
Made an only. That dude is so goddamn clever.
Yeah, what a good marketing. And by him, I mean his PR people. Yeah, he had nothing to
He
do
did, where is it? He did like every night here, every like this come follow my OnlyFans because I'm gonna be busting a nut or something. It's like probably him, busting a real nut, but it's just like come watch me pound my meat for an hour or something, and it's just like double entendres. But I might give it a shot. I don't know.
It's streaming. You can just put it on and look at your phone. That's what it was. That's how those movies work.
Yeah, he had it. He experienced his first cream pie a couple days ago.
Do love a good cream pie.
So, other than that, I got nothing. Go on with your Dune.
Right, so we got to keep this spoiler free, Keith.
Oh yeah, it just came out. I'll start with my theater experience. I can do that. I've witnessed a, I had a real life, I witnessed a Karen out in the wild. Like we always
Oh
just see them on the
no.
internet. I saw a real life Karen out in the real life world, and it was really depressing and off-putting. So we went and saw it in IMAX at Valley River.
IMAX.
Yeah, it was awesome. That part was great. But waiting in line, like Valley River is just understaffed. They're clearly like, I'm assuming they have shitty management and they don't want to pay their people enough, so they don't have employees, so they're always like, it's slow there.
It's funny because Cinemark is overemployed. There's just people
Yeah.
everywhere in that theater all the time.
But like this, the so like a manager was like getting me my drink and our snacks, and it was a long line, it took forever. And this older woman comes storming up to where we were. Like she stormed up past the line up to us to go talk to this person, and she like yelled at this poor employee that was like trying to like get people popcorn and soda because they were swamped. They didn't have the people. I'm assuming some people probably called in too. That's what it looks like. But like, and she was yelling that the movie was too loud, and she was going into doing IMAX. She was screaming like not. I'm not exaggerating with the screaming part. Just screaming at this
What
woman.
the fuck did this bitch think she was seeing?
And the best part was that she made up a lie that there was like a crowd of people outside the movie theater that didn't want to go in because it was too loud. Because when we got our snacks and we walked up to the same theater she was talking about, there was nobody there. And this poor, oh, I felt so bad. This poor worker just sighed and said, "I'm sorry. Well, I can help you solve that problem after we deal with this line. Like it's really busy right now." And she was just like just swamped and stressed out. And then she said, like, I think she was trying to get one over on her by like a sarcastic comment. So I was pretty proud of it. She says, "Hey, we got earplugs in the lobby." So I was pretty happy with that line. But yeah. Then saw it in if you get the right seat, they squeeze you in there at Regal, but if you get the right seats, it's
You
comfortable.
sit in the front row for some reason. You're the old man that sits in the front row.
No,
You don't.
I had the foot rest. At IMAX, you have to sit really strategically.
Yeah, you have to get the front
Yeah.
row before, like, not the actual front row, but you get the front row
Yeah,
of
with the
the upper
bar.
part where you
Yeah.
get the
Yeah.
bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the bar, so I had my it was comfy. And yeah, it was loud. The audio was rad. Like when Paul used the voice, it like rattled my chair. And in the past few years, I always bitch about how movies are too quiet at the theaters these days. And so
Cinemark
like
does not have the best sound, I will give you that.
and yeah, so I was psyched with the audio visually loved it. But the
Yeah,
theater experience was wild.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
It's the script is kind of weak.
Yeah.
The first third to half of the film feels oddly rushed and just kind of like squeezed together. The climax is fucking awesome. The
Yeah.
climactic battle is fucking so cool. The CG is top fucking notch. Like, there's no getting pulled out of the film, even though there's gigantic fucking sandworms. It
Yeah.
looks authentic.
Oh yeah. No, the
So like, it doesn't feel like a good movie, but like, it's awesome. So fucking, I don't care.
I think the people are getting a little horny and weird with their praise of it. It was excellent, but it's not like
It's getting like a 98 on Rotten Tomato or something. Like,
it's a little
what did people
silly.
see?
It's like it
Like,
used
it's a
sci-fi ex
four. It's like a
yeah.
four, four and a quarter. It's a banger, but like, it's not the best film ever.
No, it's a. If people are on the fence about it, do not watch it at home.
No, it is just like the first Dune. It is a theater ass movie.
Yep.
That's also why I think you don't have the right Oppenheimer experience, Sweland. You did
Yeah.
not see Oppen that is a theater ass movie. You should
Yeah,
not watch Oppenheimer at home.
that like bomb scene wasn't
He's just mad because
that
Roadhouse is at on Amazon Prime as well.
good. Yeah.
No, from what I've heard and seen since I've not seen the first one, and I am tempted to go see Dune 2 blind without seeing the first one, but I don't know if I want to spend 3.5 hours
The
with a
two hour and
movie.
45 minute film.
I'm including the like 45 minutes of trailers.
You goddamn know you don't have to show up at showtime. You show
Yeah,
up 15 to 20 minutes late.
I don't know when the trailers end, so I
Trailers end at half an hour, so you show up 15 to 20 minutes late.
That's a lot of work. But all I know is like everybody that I've seen just love Dune 2. Like, they love the pace. They love the score, the effects, the costume design, all that they loved.
See, the funny thing is that I think comparative to the first one, visually and acoustically, I think is the way you would say that. I think the first one is a visually and acoustically better movie. I was more in awe of the visuals in the first one and was more drawn in by the sound in the first one. But this is comparing an A plus to an A. Like, they're both fucking fantastic. But I was more visually into the first movie. There was too much talking in this one for my liking, if I'm honest.
Funny.
Rely more on your visuals. And there were still some goddamn badass visuals in this film.
Yeah, they Villeneuve just jacked off too much in the first movie for me. So this the like the pacing got fucked up because they told it was a quarter. They told a quarter of the story in what in the first movie, and then just because like we didn't get to know. I won't no spoilers. Just Austin Butler's character. There's so much more to him.
Dude, he was
Like,
so fucking good in this film too
yeah.
for what he had. I think, and I told Keith this when we were talking about it. There's got to, I think this got cut down by the studio. I think the studio forced him to cut this down. I bet there's going to be a 3.5 hour like director's cut
Yeah,
of
like
this film.
Paul,
And
no. Like Paul didn't make sense in this.
dude, he fucking sucked. He was
He's like,
so lame.
he makes some like. I'm pushing up my glasses now, doing my actually in the book thing. Like, they made Paul seem like an insane. He is an insane person, but he tracks. He like his story makes sense in the
From what I've heard from the
book.
director, like there are deleted scenes, but he's like, yeah, I'm not releasing them, so I don't expect a extended cut anytime soon of these. I'm not,
Disappointing.
yeah.
Because for the cut that we got, Paul and fucking Zendaya's characters have no fucking chemistry. And for what is supposed to be a pretty pinnacle point of the story in this film, it makes it weird that they lack any and all sorts of chemistry. Florence Pugh fucking nails it. Fucking Brolin, unsurprisingly, nails it. Brolin fucking owns every scene he is in.
Brolin's hosting SNL, and I might give
Oh,
it a
that's
shot
fun.
this week.
That's
Dude,
fun.
Brolin deserves a bigger spot. He needs
Yeah.
like a bigger, like an A plus spot film, because I think he would own it. He is such a good actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, film was great. It's a great theater experience.
He mentioned about how like he was like not piss poor, but it was just like before any of the any Marvel stuff, he was just like, yep, I was like paycheck to paycheck because of movies, but all of a sudden like,
That's cool.
skyrocketed up. Well, it doesn't help. He was in a million ways to die in the West. But me and Keith, we digress on that one.
But yeah, Dune was my main watch. I'm going to watch the new oh my God, what the fuck is that called? That had Lindsay Lohan originally.
Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. I'm going to watch the new Mean Girls because it's on Paramount now. Already
Man.
booked tickets to go see the new Kung Fu Panda with my boys because they loved going to the movies. They were mad because I went to see Dune on Tuesday. I'm like, all right, boys, I'm gonna go see a movie. And they're like, we want to come. I'm like, you can't go see Dune.
Oh, hear me out.
I mean, they probably could have. There's not really anything that bad
Yeah.
in Dune, like gore wise, and there's no tits.
There's
So,
adult concepts rather than adult content.
yeah.
Like,
But like, they
you
would have been
boys want to learn about
terrified of the fucking sandworms.
jihad?
But like, so gonna go see that. I guess I'll give fucking Ricky Snicky a try.
Yeah.
And
If you
then
can
I
just.
didn't get to Shogun this week, so I'm gonna fucking. It's
Have
been
you
a fucking
started it or have
insanely.
you?
No, I haven't had a chance to
Okay.
start it
I've
yet.
heard it's supposed to be really good.
I've had an insanely busy last month, but finally, like, things are gonna settle down a little bit, so I'm gonna fucking deep dive and catch up on some shit.
Keith?
Oh, you reminded me there saying that. I went my Mean Girls live Broadway or my live musical thing was this weekend. this most recent weekend.
Oh,
So
how was it?
it was so much fun. I've seen all of the Mean Girls content now. I've seen the play in person. I've seen the movie version of the musical and the original.
First of all, not a play. It's a Broadway musical.
I said musical. I don't like using the word Broadway and Eugene.
It's a traveling Broadway musical,
Yes,
not a
yes.
play.
Yeah, anyway, I saw it. It was fun. Good as hell. We were it was funny. I forgot how close, because I bought those tickets so long ago. I forgot how we were like 3 seats from the front from the stage.
Ooh, those typically aren't like the best spots for
Well,
a
no, that
home
was all. They were
center.
almost sold out. It worked. It was fine. Songs were good. They cut some songs. Man, the person that played Caddy was amazing. She was like, I almost liked her more than the movie one, the news.
Nice.
That was fun. And then, video game update. I picked up Final Fantasy VII Rebirth last time we all spoke. Gotten a good ways into it. It's phenomenal. It's bonkers and hilarious. The anime nonsense is just like 11 out of 10 in it. Like, it's just so much bonkers anime bullshit, but it's all funny. So anime.
I mean, it's Final Fantasy. What the fuck do you expect?
Yeah. Yeah, people are like talking, like doing the anime thing when someone gets surprised and like falls backwards.
Fucking swinging titties everywhere.
Oh yeah, it's Tifa. Tifa's
No one loves oversized tits quite like Japanese animators.
funny. Yep. So horny.
It's a very repressed country.
And Cloud is Cloud's special.
He's special boy.
Yep. And then, yeah, that's it.
Well, if you want, you can go see Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome next week in theaters
Fuck,
for
and I
some
do
reason.
want to see that. What the fuck?
Oh yeah, I
Next
saw
Thursday.
the full like big IMAX screen trailer of
And Fury Road,
Mad
Fury Road's on
Max.
Friday. Oh, you saw
I'm
the Anya Taylor-Joy one?
yeah, I'm still not I still think it's gonna suck, but I think it's gonna look cool. I'm more sold on the visuals now that I saw the trailer in theaters.
That is definitely a theater ass movie, I feel
Yeah.
like.
I don't think it looks as bad as like the internet kind of got all internety and weird when the trailer came out.
The
Nah, it
internet
looked
being
bad.
internet-y and weird, that
Yeah.
never fucking happens.
Yeah. There was like YouTubers react to the trailer, YouTube
Is there
videos.
anything worse, fucking, besides, 4chan and the fucking incels,
Yeah.
than
Yeah.
fucking react content? That content's so fucking stupid.
Yeah, with their little face in the bottom right, like, oh, that looks like CG by the wheels.
I don't get, like, who the fuck are you to react to this
Yeah.
content that someone like painstakingly worked on?
Right. Did any of you guys, have you any of you guys seen the trailer for because the movie comes out next week, Knox Goes Away?
No.
There's a Michael Keaton movie. I think he directed
Oh, I
it.
saw something about a Keaton movie. I had not watched it yet, though.
He's a contract killer that is getting rapidly evolving form of dementia.
Jesus.
And
Sounds depressing.
Why does Keaton keep making such depressing shit like Flash?
I don't know. But it's like one of the things, like his son gets is involved in something, and it's just like in the trailer, it's like him at a crime scene. He's like, where am I? What am I doing here? And it looked pretty good, but also, what you said, sad and depressing. But yeah. So next week here, we will see if we go 24 for 24.
Pretty sure we will.
I think we
I think we
will.
nail it all.
Red, right, and blue,
Mostly
brother.
Indiana Jones. Either that or 1 out of 24, and the only one we got right is Indiana
It's Indiana
Jones.
Jones.
If
Do 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 do
we don't
do
get if we don't get Indiana
do do
Jones,
do
what are
do
we doing here?
do do do.
Also, you guys should join me and the producer when we go see The Room next month at the Eugene Art House.
Nice.
I'm not gonna do that.
Come on.
I
I
have no
think I'm
interest in
in.
that film. Not gonna
See
do
it
it.
in theaters and see one of the stars and one of the writers. Come on.
Star is a big stretch coming off of that film, but
Do you think you'll throw a football with people?
He probably would if someone brings it.
I mean,
I know why So does.
he's
Can we have
literally
him?
just trying
Okay.
to like fucking scrap his life together and make a
Dude.
dime off of his fucking little bit of fame.
How sick would a signed football be?
It would be like they
That'd
do
be a
that.
good.
Yeah,
I
but
would
you'd probably have
collect.
to pay him $100 for it.
I'd pay no dollars for it. I'd a Sharpie. I'd just gesture at him with a Sharpie and a football.
Well, yeah, you should join us. It'd be fun. For that being said, you can go to nosoentertainment.com. That's right, nosoentertainment.com, where you can find all the things we do for you. You can find us on the Facebook, the Twitter, X, the Instagram, and the No So Entertainment Discord. You can find Keith at Dooning, the website where you just, dune each other, if you catch my drift.
I'll dune you right now. Goonie.
You're dooning so hard you wish you were with the popcorn bucket. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcasts.